I'm going to say, if you could be a chair, what kind of chair would you be? Think about that. You don't have to tell me. Keep it in. Tell your spouse, whoever. And then I want to know, how much TV do you watch in a day? Okay, so, and I'm talking about screen time. So, and I'm not talking about your screen time with the Lord, because I know now with COVID you probably have a different way that you're connecting with God, but I'm talking about that TV time, that time that's not God time. And then I want to know, you don't have to shout it out, I want you to keep this within yourself, what is this a picture of? This image I have up here, what is that? What is that a picture of? No, don't tell. No. That's between you and your thoughts. A piece of paper, put it down. You know, what is that on the screen? Okay, so you got that? Okay, now, Pastor Tran, I'm going to be snazzy and say, where's this little, do I hit the little button like this? Theoretically. No. Ta-da.
Can we get that, Carly?
Okay, so, as Pastor Tran said, my name is Toni Jackson Lampley, and I am so grateful to be here today. You guys have no idea. It is like coming home. I remember when the BCC was just a piece of paper. So what you're looking at here is my family. So, you know, the Iowa State named the Black Culture Center after my dad. My dad was, when he came here, when he descended upon here in 1979. I'm glad I'm getting this right. Okay, so 1979, he was the director of Minority Student Affairs. So his time was probably in the 80s, and he had a mission, if you will, to make sure that Ames, specifically Iowa State, was conducive for African Americans to stay, and that they could get a degree here. And so this was a place where Iowa State was lacking in that area. So my dad took that charge. We lived in Michigan. So we lived in Pontiac, Michigan before that. And I remember having this little map that showed Iowa, and it was a Fisher-Price map with a pig, a silo, and a corn. And I was like, oh, no, we're in trouble. We're in so much trouble. So I don't know. Can we go back to that slide? I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm doing it.
Okay. Awesome. Good. Better you than me, maybe, right? Oh, got you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So so in this picture, and I don't know if I'm blocking someone, so I'm sorry if I am. So in this picture is my sister. She's hugged up next to my son, Brandon, and there's Natalie. And then at the bottom is Kinsey, which is Terry's daughter, and then myself, and then my oldest, which is Darren. And the person who's missing in this picture is Kaylin. He is Terry's oldest, and we're all older, and this is the pre-COVID picture. And then the pictures on the top and the side is me and my dad and me and my mom, and my mom and my sister live in Florida now. We're all good. Everybody's all happy and safe, and everybody's larger, growing, taller, and Terry and I are trying to reverse age. We say that 50 is the new 20, right? Okay, 50 is the new 20. So that's what we're up to. But I wanted to say that my dad, he thought about this and said, well, I want to make sure that there is a faith, that students have a faith, that they feel comfortable doing that. And I'm so grateful that he thought about that, because now here you are, and then here I am. So just like, this is just a fantastic thing. I would come to the BCC when I was in the eighth grade. And so it was just incredible. My dad passed away in 2016. He had dementia. And me and my family moved back here to Ames in 2012. And because you are family, I will tell you that I divorced in 2014. So 2013 was really hard. It's a hard year. But God is amazing, and he never forgets about us. He never gives up on us. He never throws us away. He continues to bless us and show us favor, right? So you'll get to learn all about that. But I'm going to keep moving because we don't have all day, because I could talk about my family all day. So this is Team Lampley. So meet the team. So when I got married, we had this theme that we were a team. And so this is Team Lampley. So Darren is 16, and Brandon is 14, and Natalie is 9. And I am old enough. And I put their titles here because just a little snippet for you guys. If you have children, it's always good to tell them where they're going, not what they are. So Darren is a leader. I always laugh because he, in his early years, I used to think he was a procrastinator, right? Not a procrastinator. He was a negotiator. He would say, "Mom, how about we do?" And I was like, "How about we not? How about you do what I tell you to do, right?" And then Brandon was the one who was the procrastinator. He was like, I'll get to that. And Natalie, of course, was the Disney princess. She wanted all the, "Why can't you do this for me? Why can't you do this for me?" So now, these are their new names because they've just grown so much in the Lord, and I'm grateful for that, just the power of being a parent and praying. But Darren is a leader. He's a leader in his in his friends, which I'm so proud of him for. And Brandon is a visionary. Although an introvert, he can just get through a room and decide, like, this person really needs some love. This person really, I need to come alongside. This person, I need to come alongside. And Natalie, I call her a warrior princess because, listen, she's about the business. She is a leader, not a follower, but at the same time, she's an adventuress, and she's more like Esther, the princess, than Tiana, the princess. You know what I mean? She's really got a good head on her shoulders, and I'm grateful for God for that. So this is a little bit about me. Pastor Tran said some of these things, but, this is who I am. But why I'm here today, the most important thing is that I am a daughter of the one true King, Jesus Christ. So this is just so you kind of know a little bit about me. So I wanted to tell you what happened. I was minding my own business, really. And I was cooking dinner.
Everybody say welcome to BCC.
Right. I was minding my own business. I was cooking dinner. When my brother in Christ of 32 years, Pastor Tran, called me and said, "Hey, Sister Tony, woman of God," I was like, "Oh boy, I'm waiting." And he said, "Could you bring a fresh word?" And we talked for a while, and we boomed and hawed and all of that. And I decided that I wanted to come to you today with what God was saying to me. Amen. So when you're a Christian and you're a born-again believer, it's on your way, on the road, in season and out of season, you're ready to tell someone what God is doing in your life. So when he said, "Bring a fresh word," I'm inviting you of what is happening right now. You're just popping in. you're just popping in. And so this is something that's going on in my season, and I want to share it with you. And so what God is doing with me right now is telling me, Tony, you are enough.
Yes, Lord.
You are enough. And so I'm going to share that with you. So let's bow our heads and pray so that I can ask the Lord to help me be a vessel today. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you so much for just loving us. What's on my mind and has been on my mind all week is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. Father God, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. And God, will you just soften our hearts today to your word.
Yes,
And that you that we would receive your word with great eagerness so that we can just examine your word so we can know that it's true. So I'm asking the BCC and everyone who can hear my voice, don't take my word for it. Lord Jesus, I just ask them with eagerness and readiness in mind that they would go check out your word to see what I'm saying is true. God, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So the chair. So I'm just going to unpack this. It's all about you. You don't have to tell me anything. I don't want you to shout it out. It's not like that. And I'm going to lose body stuff, so I'm just going to leave that earring there. It's a creative way to get you to see who you are. And so sometimes in life we get a little stuck, right? And we're hustling and bustling. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's happening. And so sometimes you have to step out of yourself and get yourself in a creative state so that you can see where you are. So this is my favorite chair, but I'd be a chase lounge for sure. I'd need my feet up or something. But this is to examine yourself. Are you soft? Are you firm in your convictions? Are you stable? You know, is your chair lopsided? Is it not? You know, this is a good way to get yourself grounded if you're just not sure of what's going on. So this is hilarious. I love this exercise. So is this a dot? What is it? What I'm doing is I'm asking you to use your imagination. So this was a fun thing we did in my house. I happened to put a dot on a piece of paper, and I asked my high schoolers, which are my two boys, right, Darren and Brandon, I asked them, what is this? Huh? Well, what is this? Mom, come on. I don't have time for what is this shenanigans is what they say. And, of course, you know, teenage boys, if you can help me figure out how to keep them clean and smell better, I will take all the advice that I can. So this is my way to get you to use your imagination. So this is what happened. I asked the high schoolers. They said it was a yellow dot on a piece of paper. And I said, okay. I said, could you use your imagination? One high schooler said, it's a yellow dot on a piece of paper. Okay, so I didn't bother him anymore. The other one said, well, it's kind of like a blood moon in the sky. It could be the sun. That's all I got. I said, okay. So then I asked Natalie, bubbly, perky, nine, ready to go. I said, Natalie, what is that? She goes, well, it's a yellow circle on a piece of paper, but you know what? It's cheese. And she goes, and then it could be the moon, and then it could be, oh, Mom, it could be like the center of the flower where the bee goes and gets all the good stuff. And then she just kept going, and then she talked about something else, and then she was gone. And so it just, in my world, imagination is a concept that means to picture oneself, right?
Yes, Lord.
So this book I'm reading, I'm not necessarily recommending it. I got to tell you a little bit about that. But imagination is a kind of seeing, he says in this book, the ability to envision something that is not physically present for the eye to see, or put yourself in a different place than you are using senses in a hypothetical way, right? Okay, so this book right here, I'm reading it, I'm not to the end, and I sometimes don't recommend books because I read books in a different lens. I'm always reading the book with Jesus in mind. So when I'm reading it, I'm excited about it, and somebody's like, I didn't get anything out of that. How did you get that out of there? So, but it is a good read. I'm enjoying it. But I wanted to share that with you guys that is where I am right now. So I had this little imagination game going on with the kids. I'm reading the book about your imagination. So then, of course, this is what happens in my mind. Imagination and faith, they're related. Pardon my typo in some of my slides. I just was going to town. So imagination and faith, I say they're related. They're like cousins. I can't say they're brother and sister, but I can definitely say they're cousins because they're personal, they are intentional, and they are powerful. They can be used to foster sin, and they can be used to foster hope. So now, so we already know what imagination is. I already told you what it is. It's to picture yourself, right? And but faith is kind of the same thing. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By the way, you're going to notice that on every slide, I'm trying to tell you that you're enough. So if you don't catch it, hopefully you'll catch it. So what hinders our faith in our imagination? Socialization. I just gave you an example of it with Darren and Brandon. They're in high school. It was a circle that was yellow. It's a yellow circle. It's a dot, and it's yellow, Mom. What else do you want me to say, right? So this is what I'm going to say to you, is that if you, socialization, we need it, okay? We need socialization. We need to learn how to speak, to write, to draw. I mean, all those things, we need it. And I know no parent who would not agree with me, and I know you're going to raise your hand and agree with me when I say that potty training and learning how to walk on your own, these are socialization basics that we like. These are the things we like. So our heavenly dad, so the evil one, though, the father of sin, lies and manipulation, and I just call him who he is. I try not to give him the name the world gives him. They give him like a sexy name, right? They say Satan, and they make Satan out to be, we socialize that word, we commercialize it. No, he is the father of sin. He is a liar, and he's a manipulator. And he comes after us in our mind, which the imagination uses it, and he comes after us in our imagination, establishing what we should believe. So do you see how faith and imagination are connected with the enemy? But our heavenly dad, the lover of the good, the creator, the living water, redeemer, comforter, I just couldn't get it all on the slide. He uses socialization for basic things. Think about it. You read, you write, you know, of course you've got to go to the bathroom, all those things. He uses it for that. And I started to think about it. But the evil one goes beyond the basics. Think about how Jesus walked and what he used socialization for, basics. But the enemy stopped daydreaming, but David did it all the time. David was in the wilderness before he was chosen to be king. He did it all the time. That's how he was able to fight Goliath. He fought the bear, the lion. He had great daydreams, great things where he was. The enemy will say, grow up, be realistic, you know? But Jesus told us to come as children with all the imagination and all the wonder, the cheese, right? I didn't get cheese out of my little circle, but she got cheese. And the enemy wants you to think that you're broken, that you're, that you're needy, that you're not enough. But there it is, you are enough. You are enough. So this is what happens. So do you see this little thing that's starting to happen to you as you grow up, as you, and your faith gets challenged, right? You have an imagination. Imagination is neutral. It's a neutral thing. But accompanied with faith, you know, you can have your imagination and you can see yourself there. And that's what faith is. The substance of things hoped for. You start to hope for it, but the hopes, before the hope starts, the imagination happens. What's going on in your mind? Okay? So, I'm going to tell you what's happening. So, stay with me. So, when I asked you, how much TV do you watch in a day? You know, when I went to Iowa State, I was a journalism major. My emphasis was in public relations, and they taught us something called agenda setting. And news people do this, magazines do this, a radio does this, all media does this. They want to tell you what to think about. So if you start your day, you press the Keurig, you put the little cup under there, coffee, I need coffee, me too, coffee. It's like my children, I'm less like, I just want to get to the bottom of my coffee cup before you ask me a question. And that's what happens in our house. But what do you turn on? What's your noise? I love how some pastors here in this season have been saying, you know how it says guard your heart? Now they're saying guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard it all, right? So agenda setting, the news, the world, when you get up in the morning, if you don't set yourself up to have this time with God, they will tell you what to think about. It's called agenda setting. You know, the top five news things you need to know. Your Facebook, your friends.
Yes, ma'am.
What's trending? And you have no idea that it's just saturating socialization. It's just there. It's all there. You're just soaking it in. And you're like, no. I got perspective. I'm good. No, socialization. It's happening to you in whether you like it or not. Now, some of it's not all bad. But when you are a born-again believer, it can't be your first step. It can't be your second step. Maybe it's no step at all. You got to know who you are to decide what you can handle and what you cannot handle. So on the opposite side of this agenda setting and all of this are God's promises, the promises of God. Are you putting, are you depositing, are you investing? Do you know a promise of God? Do you know what that is? Do you have a way? Now, I read somewhere that there are 7,864 promises in the Bible. I say that how many pages are in your Bible? Because I guarantee that there's at least two or three on each page. So I don't know who counted that 7,864, but I believe that there are far more than that. Okay, I'm going to give you a little tip. So in the morning, right, you've got your, I'm talking about the promises of God. I used to do, I'm going to say used to because, God, I got to go back and I got to do it better. I got to be better about it now. But there was a season where I would do what was called the Great Eight. Okay, I call it the Great Eight. So every morning I'd wake up and I'd think of three things I was grateful for and five of God's promises. So it would become the Great Eight, and eight meaning completion, eight, yes. So when I'd be walking through my day and the enemy would say something, I'd be like, oh no, as far as the east is from the west, God's thrown his transgressions from me, I'm good. You know, or however it is, but because I set myself up in the morning or whenever that is, that's the Great Eight, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So today, we're just going to unpack this whole promises of God, your faith, and you are enough. And so I'm going to turn in my Bible to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And this is the rich young ruler. Okay, and I'm going to read this. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said, good teacher. He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, Jesus answers him, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not fraud, honor your mother and father. Teacher, he declared, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him.
Yes, ma'am. Come on.
Jesus looked at him and loved him.
Yes, Lord.
You are enough, by the way. Just in case you didn't get that. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Promise. I just saw that. Then come, follow me. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
At this, the man's face fell. Okay? He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" He was just, and it's got an explanation point in my version. Oh, how hard is it? I think Jesus was heartbroken here, okay? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God."
Yes, ma'am.
The disciples were even more amazed. They said to each other, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Okay? So I did not want to read this promise out of context. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So socialization, we just keep rattling it off, and we say, you know, with all things, God, everything's possible with God. Yep. But when we read it here, this is what happened. This is a promise. But now in context, how you feeling? Right? And I bring it up to you not to say, hey, this is socialization. No, I'm bringing it up because, listen, you got to die. This man did not want to die inside. He did not want to get vulnerable. He did not want to be humble. He did not want to trust God. God looked at him and loved him. And his indignation was because you're making the wrong choice. You're not making the right choice. You're making the wrong choice. So with the rich young ruler, we see all these promises that God just blankets here. But we have to die. We have to be humble to receive it.
Yes.
So when you feel like you're not enough, it's really hard to do this. So I believe this rich young ruler did all these things to feel good enough. He got all this wealth to feel like, hey, now I can run to Jesus and say who I am. And God's like, it don't take all that. Okay? But you have to die. You have to be humble to receive it, because God was going to give him everything. That wealth didn't matter above the treasures in heaven. Speak it. Okay? Just speak that. Okay? So now I have another promise for you. This is one of my favorites. Okay. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit. And so, you know, God told us that there would be trouble. And he goes, "And I have come to overcome the world." So he said, you know, there's going to be trouble. You're going to have trouble. We all know that. But Psalm 34, verse 18 is close to me because, you know, I'll unpack that in a minute, but he's close to the brokenhearted and he saves, look at the adjectives here, those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. And I'm living proof that he does that.
Yes,
ma'am. So today, if you are looking for a sign not to commit suicide, here's your sign.
Yes, ma'am.
So I had a friend who we met, and he was the only person that asked me right off the cuff, so what's your faith story? How'd God save you? I was like, amen, because I've been walking around all these Christians and nobody asked me that, so I'm so happy that he asked me that. So we got to talking, and he was telling me that he was really sad that a friend of his in high school committed suicide, and he wished he was a better friend to him. And what triggered that for him was when he was driving his car, a man in South Dakota was holding a sign like this one. And he said, that is such the coolest thing. He goes, every time I have a chance to tell someone, if they're looking for a sign not to end it all, I'm going to give them a sign, like a literal sign. And I was like, that is so cool. I said, if I'm ever invited to say something to somebody in a platform, I'm going to say, today. If you're looking for a sign,
yes,
not to commit suicide, here's your sign. And so there are hard times and there are dark times, you all. And so for me, divorce was my hard time. I mean, I've had a lot of hard times, but they all kept coming together. They all just kind of stacked upon each other. So the marriage wasn't great. The divorce happened. The children are small. My dad has dementia. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying, and then the grief just kept coming. Grief on top of grief on top of grief. And it's true what they say, that divorce is death walking around.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it is a dark place. And you examine yourself, and I want to explain to you how it feels. So imagine yourself being around all these people who are super friendly, super nice to you, super friendly, and it's all great. And the Smiths invite you over to their party, and you're so excited. And you can hear the music, you can hear the thumping, you can hear how great it is, and it's all wonderful. But it sounds like you're in the next room. It sounds like you're like in the third realm. Like you can hear it, but you're not there. And if you're a self-examiner like me and an overthinker, well, then it's just dark.
Yep.
It's just a hard place. It's a hard place to be. And so the world told me, oh, Tony, you're between a rock and a hard place. And we're so sorry about that. So a rock and a hard place, maybe this is you. You're in a situation where one is faced with two difficult alternatives, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, we say this in jest all the time. Okay, I got two supervisors who don't get along. I guess I'm between a rock and a hard place. No, here's my rock and hard place. The world said, you know, it's going to be hard, Tony, going to school, raising children, and managing a job. But I got my master's anyway. Okay, but it was a rock in a hard place. Trying to work, raise children, manage a house, manage divorce, manage after divorce, figuring it out, jobs, trying to keep it all together, rock in a hard place. If I didn't have Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And so this is the one thing God said to me this week. Yeah, you know, socialization, you know, the world wants you to think that you are between a rock and a hard place. And you're still, you know, it's really tough. But God said to me this week, you are at grace and a promised place. You are not between a rock and a hard place.
Yes, Lord.
You're at grace and a promised place. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. And And so that's true. So free yourself from socialization. How much TV does it really take? Do you really need it? Only care about what God thinks.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, failure is a part of the process. It's a part of the process. And when you're a born-again believer, when you are a born-again believer, you got all this room to stretch and to work it out. You got all this room. And so you need a community of believers who can get in your face. No mansy-pansy nice friendships. Don't get those. Don't get the people in your ear who tell you what you want to hear.
Yes, Lord.
Have those hard conversations. Why? Because you're enough. So when I think about grace and promise place, think about Joseph in jail, but ruler of the land at the end result. David and Bathsheba, but we know him as the man after God's own heart. We think about Joshua and Caleb. We can surely take that land, okay, when all the naysayers were around them, okay? So when we sin, we have grace. So this is what I'm saying to you. You are enough, and you have to have a very strong relationship with God. And if you don't, go right now and get on your knees and find out how you can make this relationship the bee's knees, the awesomeness, the greatness. Maybe you just need to be more creative. I don't know. You just need to touch, get in touch with what that is, right? So, are you an influencer? Your networks, you know, are watching you, allowing them to see you in the fixing and the answering prayers and the sorrowing and the hardships. Do they get to see you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? And are you reverent? Do you really respect the word of God and its timing? God's not giving me what I want when I want it. What's going on? How can I not have what's going on? No, God has timing. You know, waiting on the Lord. You know, tasting his goodness. You know, waiting on his promises.
Yes, Lord.
So he is the living water. Read your Bible, prayer, praise and worship. Every time I think about what people did in the Bible to get close to God or what they did, I love the wall of Jericho. That just by praising him and walking around and being consistent caused the wall to come down. That is amazing. So do you know the source of your supply, your living water, right? And so I just wanted to say that you are enough. 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 Mm-hmm. You are enough. So I will say to you right now, what is God to you? Okay, what is God to you? And so I'm going to leave you with a creative thought because sometimes you just got to figure out what God is to you. So is God lemonade on a 102 degree day? Okay, is God that piece of peach cobbler in the last piece that you take out of the thing, you heat it up in the microwave, and you have just a little ice cream on the side? Is God the home run that you had when you didn't have bad knees or a bad back or whatever? Is God your beer and hot wings? I don't know. I'm a foodie. I just have all these food analogies. But what I'm saying is take what you love, that God has given it to you, the things that you enjoy. That's God giving it to you. He's a creator, and you are enough. He cares about you. In your pride, rich young ruler, in your sorrow, in the cave, David and Saul, you know, he cares about you. In my depth, he cared about me. So I'm just telling you that you're enough, and it's a pleasure to be here today. I'm glad that I was able to unpack some things and share them with you.
Amen.
Amen.